Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Diana Wiley, your host of Love, Lust, and Laughter. I'm a happy, happy host today because my friend and colleague, Lou Padgett, is the guest once again. Hello, Lou. Do we have Lou?
Yes, we do.
Great. Hello, Lou. It's nice to have you back on the Love, Lust, and Laughter.
My pleasure.
Yes, and that's what we're going to talk about is pleasure. And we thought we'd talk about sex toys in part because, of course, sex toys can enhance sexual pleasure. You know, I'm thinking even a goofy sex toy might encourage communication between a couple when they've stopped talking about sex. I've seen it in my practice. And
no question.
Yes. And let me just tell the audience, of course, you've been on the show a number of times, and just you're just an excellent guest with so much to say and to offer, and you have written five books. Is it six now?
Five. Number six is in the works.
In the works. So five books translated into how many languages?
28.
28. And Lou told me off the air that once again, she will offer to any of you listeners listening live her book, The Great Lover Playbook. Is that right, Lou?
Correct.
Yes. And so you have to be the first caller. You don't have to have a question about sex toys. That's going to be our focus for a good part of the program, in part because Lou, who is a wonderful researcher as well as a writer, of course, the research informs your books, you've interviewed a number of people, women, in the adult industry.
In the adult novelty area, yes.
Novelty area, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And you usually called it novelty and not sex toys?
Correct.
And why is that?
Well, because a toy can be something that most people will think of as either being, you know, placed on the body or inserted somewhere and having vibration.
Mm-hmm.
But a novelty can also be something that is just applied. It can be a product. It could be a lotion.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a massage product. It could be a melting something. Or it may be something that is a form of a restraint. And people respond and have the brain thinks differently when you say novelty versus toy. Novelty tells them, oh, it is going to be something new and something I may not know about.
And that's fun, because then that adds adventure, possible adventure
to
the sexual encounter.
Right. And here's the thing, you know, at what point, when it comes to learning about sexuality, we have no problem, if we love to cook, continually learning about different recipes and different dishes. We have no problem if we love to dance, learning to go and dance and try new steps and, you know, perhaps a new class, or yoga. We love yoga. We're going to go to a different class, getting more instruction. But when it comes to the area of sexuality, for some reason, we sort of think that after a certain point, people, you know, you don't have to have a whole lot more awareness of things. And honestly, for most couples, I think they all of a sudden hit the wall and go, I do want to know more, but where do I go to get it?
Exactly. And so you've had these interviews with, I guess they were all women in the adult
novel? There were two who were women. And if you want, I can just give you a little thumbnail sketch of who the people were.
Oh, that would be great. And what did you take away from these interviews?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
In my own show, Sex Talk with Lou, what I did is I had just been to an adult novelty manufacturers expo, which is in essence a trade show for novelties and sex toys.
Is that AVN?
No, the AVN itself is in Las Vegas, the Adult Video News. And it is in Las Vegas at the same time, right after the beginning of the year, right after, at the same time as the Consumer Electronics Show.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that the two of them are done together is because the boom in, for example, the video market world came as a result of adult videos. That was the thing that exploded the VCR world. Then, and then if we look at the world
of
the...
So we're going back to mid-'80s?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Yeah.
So what they do is the consumer electronics are all the geekazoids who
right.
go, and they don't do any gambling, which makes Las Vegas crazy. They go back up to their suites in their rooms, and they discuss all of the software points. But what they do do is they look for what's going to be the world and the market that is going to want to use our software and our hardware. And the biggest market online and the Internet, I had heard reported that 90% of the money being made on the Internet is in the adult porn area.
90%?
Yeah, which I didn't... The person who
that
told
seems
that...
so high, but...
It wouldn't surprise me, honestly.
Yeah, so 90% of the money made comes from...
The adult industry,
yeah.
And, I mean, that was something that I just heard from a gentleman by the name of Kevin Trudeau probably 2 weeks ago. But
yeah.
here's the long and the short of when I went looking for the information.
Yes.
I go to the adult novelty shows and to any of these other peer and professional groups because my job as an educator is mm-hmm. to know what's out there. And my job is to see it with my own little eyeballs.
Yes.
And I love to go directly to the manufacturer.
And now, you've been doing this for years. I remember
yes.
the first time you were on my radio show was when I was in Hawaii in 2001.
Mm-hmm.
And you talked about it even then. It was like you really were wanting to get first-hand information, and you uncovered some very interesting things about the sex novelties. I may slip every now and then and call them toys, but...
you can call them toys if
yeah,
you like.
I know, I can do that. But
what I look for
yes,
is I want to see what's new, and I want to see what the trends are. And I actually, and it's another colleague of our Dr. Shandor Gardos
yes.
in San Francisco, and he has a very extensive website entitled mypleasure.com. And as a PhD psychologist and, you know, sexology, you know, he looks for the products because that's what his business is selling them. And he said to me one time, he goes, Lou, why are you even at these things? Your website isn't that big. I said, Shandor, the important thing for me is not the volume of sales that I have, but I need to know what's out there.
Yes.
And I need to know because when I get asked, you know, there's gazillions of sex toys and sex novelties out there. But I like to be on more of the cutting edge. So that's a long intro for I decided I was going to interview some of the people who I know who are manufacturers and in smaller companies on cutting edge. And then I also did an interview with the CEO and president of one of the largest distributors. So the first person was Jenny Say, and she is the sales rep that I work with at Icon Brands, I-C-O-N Brands. And they are a smaller group, and what she said is she's been in the adult novelty world for probably 15 years,
mm-hmm.
and she said, finally, she said, I'm able to, she'd come from a major manufacturer, sell top quality and a small range of top quality produced products rather than, you know, 1,100 products.
And ultimately, consumers are going to be happier with good quality novelties that don't break.
Thank you.
And you know, I'm just thinking, I had the We Vibe couple, the Canadian couple, on
yes.
as guests.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I think they've interviewed you as well, right?
I haven't interviewed them, but I will.
Yes. Yes. Anyway, you know, one of the perks of our field is we're often sent things at
mm-hmm.
no charge.
Right.
So they sent the We Vibe, and they sent the Salsa and the Touch. And, you know, the Bruce and Melody are the couple that invented these. And Bruce is an engineer.
By trade, yes, with Nortel, wasn't it?
Yes, yes. And I'm telling you, that little red bullet that goes in about six different speeds called the Salsa,
mm-hmm.
is amazing. It's small, it's powerful, it charges up, it's quiet, and a lot of, and I know because I speak to retirement centers even at times, and they need a more powerful vibration post-menopausal women.
Mm-hmm.
So, but this is a very, to buy at retail, it's more expensive, but it lasts longer, and it provides and produces the effect you want.
Well, precisely. And
yeah.
So when I work with Jenny,
mm-hmm.
we talk about what is the broad range of things that are there.
Yes.
I'm starting to, you know, when I do presentations, I will order in, you know, the icon brands, you know, a whole range of different things.
Yes.
Then another person who I recently interviewed is Pamela McKee. And Pamela came in, and she's a managing partner of a company called Papaya Toys, as in the fruit, the papaya fruit. And she has that line, and she also represents a line called Mojo Wejo.
Hmm.
And anyone who has a wee vibe,
oh, yes,
is one part of how this works. And in the same way with Bruce and Melody,
yes,
they developed the product because Melody looked, you know, Bruce came home at one point and Melody said, why don't they make any of these products for couples?
Mm-hmm.
So Bruce then spent, you know, however long was it? 5 years.
I think it was even closer to seven.
Yeah, creating.
But anyway, a long time.
Yeah, creating this prototype, and now their market has just taken off,
mm-hmm.
which I just think is so fabulous for them.
I agree. You know, it's always satisfying when somebody who's worked hard and has talent and has a vision actually gets paid for it.
Precisely.
and they realize such great success.
Right. Well, what I, with Pamela McKee at
mm-hmm.
Papaya and also doing Mojo Wejo, what Mojo Wejo is a product that teledildonics, meaning hooking up and connecting
yes.
your vibe to your computer, they've been around for a while, and actually the first company ended up being sort of absorbed and, you know, by Doc Johnson, which is one of the major manufacturers.
Major, yes.
But this is a product that is wireless, and it got created again by someone like Bruce and his wife creating this product because he had the background, you know, in engineering. This gentleman happened to have a background in software, and he and his girlfriend were, you know, they had a long-distance relationship, but he wanted to create a vibe that he could control remotely and wirelessly. So this literally, you download the program, you have the product, and in other words, if you wanted to shake this product, it basically turns up, and here's the good part about it, the person on the other end does not control the intensity of the vibration, the other partner does.
Ah.
Ah. Now, and Mojo Wejo is spelled MOJOWIJO.com. So I wanted Pam's input, because we were talking about, you know, what do we think are the main trends that are coming forward? And she's also, you know, said one of the big things for her is the women-owned companies. There isn't just one company. There is one company by the name of California Exotics, which is still using that, you know, it's the only woman-owned company in this, you know, particular area. Well, that's no longer the case.
Uh-huh.
There are
uh-huh.
a number of others that are smaller. I mean, it's been their tagline for, you know, over a decade.
Yes, yes.
But there
And they have a big presence at the shows.
Yes, and you know, they do, they've got a huge line. But what they also, what I'm also seeing in the area of adult novelties,
mm-hmm.
is they're trying to create a sex education component to it. Because,
excellent.
You know,
say
which
more
is,
about that, Lou.
Which is, that is something that I'm very, very strongly in favor of. And what they need are people who are well-trained and don't have their egos involved when they're delivering the information.
Mm-hmm.
That's rather crucial. And with the smaller...
Well, can you digress for a second
mm-hmm.
and think of an example of somebody who might have their ego involved, and it would diminish their value as a sex educator, and maybe it has to do with credibility. They're trying to sell something,
right? There are certain people who have aligned their names with products being developed. That would be Laura Berman. That would be Sue Johansson.
Yeah.
And they do with Cal Exotics. And what they are in essence doing is taking an already existing product and putting their name on it and doing a marketing with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's one way of putting a name with a product. When we're talking about a sex education component to it, they are having people who will write their blogs for them, and some of them are good and some of them aren't. But they're in essence rather self-policed. Using products that people will say are used on adult, in adult movies.
Yes, yes.
I wouldn't take that. That would be, to me, almost, marginally laughable. Because these people, they'll say, well, I tried it on this or I tried it on that. That's not real life, okay?
Well, we know that, and too bad that more people don't know that adult porn tends to be more about fantasy.
Exactly, but what I look for are the actual people who are doing the speaking. Those are the people I'm referring to. When I talk to, for example, Pamela McKee and I were talking about how do we create something, for example, within the industry, because the industry itself is really, it really can do whatever it wants to do. For example, it can say that it's silicone if there's only, 5 or 10% of the product that's silicone. In the same way, most people who follow products that are organic know that there only has to be a percentage of something that's organic in order for them to be able to put organic on it.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the thing. Again, it ends up often being women who will look at things and go, I don't know whether or not this is, they'll ask somebody else. I don't know whether or not this is really what it's represented to be. As one example, you can get a product, and just because it has a high price tag does not mean it's quality, okay?
Yes.
It really doesn't. There's a product on the market that called the Jopen, J-O-P-E-N, and it was being marketed for approximately, and this is Pamela was giving me the numbers on this, $265.
Oh, my.
Yeah, and what's it supposed to do
for $265?
Well, what they have done is they have incorporated a number of different component parts into it.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is a myoelectric stim. So it means that it's inserted vaginally. There's also a vibrator. But what the myoelectric stim does is it causes the PC muscle, the pubococcygeus muscle, to contract. And so I myself have never spoken to anyone who's tried it, but the reviewers were not happy with the product. And on their, blogs and on their, reviews, they let people know.
Uh-huh.
That's another component part that really wasn't around in the adult novelty area 5 years ago, 3 years ago, are the bloggers and the people, again, it's subjective, but they're making comments about the products to inform people.
Yes.
Of their own experiences.
Yes. That's very good. Let's pause for a second and let our listeners know that they can go to your website, loupaget.com, loupaget.com.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a toy section.
Mm-hmm.
And
I do. It's being overhauled.
Okay. But you look at things like cock rings and vibrators and dildos and male masturbation. We should talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
Novelties that help with male masturbation, because a lot of guys think that all of these sex toys, etc., are just for women. Not so.
Not so at all.
Of course, we started with a cock ring, and that's what I started with, and helped the men stay erect. And then you've got Kegel exercises and lube and so on. So loupaget.com, it also shows your various books. Now, if any of you out there listening, I'll repeat this, want a copy of her book, the first caller gets that, The Great Lover Playbook. It's a wonderful book. You will get to receive that if you are the first caller to come on the air with a question. And I think this is an appropriate topic for today because, you know, we're still having difficult economic times in the United States. And so I think people are saving money. They're staying home more often. They buy more sexual novelties. So this is places like the Lovers and Babeland and all that say that their sales are up. Have you heard that as well?
I have heard that there is that people tend to do more things at home as couples when they go through, you know, there's a reason why they refer to sex as poor man's pleasure.
Yes, but sex does help people relax, as we know. It often aids in people's sleep. It may ease menstrual cramps and other aches and pains.
Someone find you attractive, that's a really good mental feel-good.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And to feel, if by even a partner, a regular partner, to feel desired is... Wow. So one thing that for long-term couples to bring in the sexual novelties, it indeed produces some novelty in the relationship. And dopamine, the hormone of arousal, needs novelty. So it all just works really well.
Yeah, I mean, and here's what we also know. And I know this from an anecdotal standpoint, that when couples want to introduce something new, it creates a whole new level of discussion about things.
Yes, it does.
Now, and here's the one thing that I want people to have the awareness of. Because someone is introducing something new doesn't mean things aren't okay. Invariably, it means things are okay, but... It's like you don't always just want the same meal. Sometimes you want to have something different.
Exactly.
You know, you don't want to just have, you know, filet mignon for a month. You'll be bored out of your mind after a week.
Absolutely.
So it may be the best sex ever, but sometimes you want something different. I say this all the time. Sexuality is an appetite. You can feed it differently.
I like that. And you write that way, too, often in little sound bites.
You know,
things that you can remember and that are informative and entertaining, just like you are on my radio show. And I get to be on your radio show tonight.
Yes, you do.
We're just that kind of... We are those kinds of friends and colleagues. But your books really do deliver, and they really do help real people in real relationships. And
the other thing is, and thank you for that.
You're welcome.
What I think people also need to know is that adult novelties can also be something that's incorporated from a truly therapeutic standpoint. You know, if a woman is postmenopausal and requires more, you know, a stronger or more intense stimulation in order to orgasm, often that is, you know, you can call it mother's little helper. That's often, you know, the thing that will create the greatest amount of satisfaction. If a woman, now you've had Peter Pasek on your show, correct?
Yes, twice.
Yes, I mean, you presented with him in...
In Texas. At the ASEC meeting last November.
Right. Well, he, you know, uses, you know, some products. He also, I know women who post-hysterectomy, who they were, and this one woman's comment was, if I'd known about these products, because she got slammed into menopause as a result of an emergency hysterectomy.
Yes.
And it was an ovarian cyst, and then they said, listen, just to, you know, we need your okay on this, but just to be careful. So, but she said, if she had known that there were products she could use in order to maintain vaginal health, she said, I am sure my marriage would not have ended the way it did.
My.
And that is something, and it was a product, actually, that I had this person try that came from Pamela McKee's line at Papaya Toys. They're very smooth, and what happened, of course, is this woman had, I mean, there was vaginal stenosis, I mean, vaginal stiffening, the tissue, the vaginal mucosa, as a result of the huge drop-off of estrogen, slash, almost none. She
right.
was, I mean, sex was so painful. She, her comment was, it was like three martinis, and then I could try something. But this...
Wow, so,
you know,
yeah, so she enthusiastically tried the products, and of course, in general, women, even women that are not slammed into menopause, but to go through natural menopause, and so these women need to keep their vaginal walls healthy,
uh-huh.
and one, and especially if they're not having regular intercourse, during which time it can be fun for the woman to bear down on her partner's penis and do the Kegels in a really natural, organic way.
Right, which for many women, the tightening of the Kegels
yeah.
will, or the flexing of them,
flexing.
Will often be a thing that will be the trigger for an orgasm.
That's right, that's right. And it feels so good, typically men will report it, just feels so good. But if a woman doesn't have a partner or has infrequent intercourse, then she should be masturbating with a dildo. And to bear down on the dildo and do her Kegels that way, or do a weighted novelty like the energy that Natural Contours has.
Mm-hmm.
There are many where you put it in and you bear down on this weighted
I mean, the whole,
dildo.
Yeah. I mean, the idea from a therapeutic standpoint is, let's be honest, you need to keep the tissue healthy. You need
yeah.
to keep the tissue stimulated. And one of the things that creates the improved blood flow is any form of stimulation. And truly, what we do know is if you don't use it, you will lose it.
Absolutely.
And that's both for women and men. And I say to men, you know, I had one man who, you know, was, his wife was very ill with cancer, and as a result, and he ended up being, you know, her caregiver. For
mm-hmm.
the 2 years, 3 years. So he really went for 5 years without doing anything from an intercourse standpoint, and he wasn't even masturbating. And as a result, he really had not taken care of the vascular tissue in his penis. So,
right. Another case of use it or lose it. And that
yeah.
happens to a lot of men. And in fact, there is something, I'll say this very quickly before we go to our break, something that Masters and Johnson termed widower's syndrome. So here a
Ooh.
Man has been taking care of his wife. They haven't had sexual activity of any kind, maybe for years. And then his wife dies, and he attempts to be sexual again after a certain amount of time. And maybe for the first time ever, he has erection difficulties.
Mm-hmm.
The blood flow, this is why they have daily Cialis. Keeps the blood flow in the penis, the nitric oxide. It keeps the penis healthy.
What keeps the tissue healthy?
And that's what I mean, the tissue healthy. And so we're going to talk more about penises and sexual novelties and vaginas and all kinds of fun things. So I want you all to stay with us. And if you do want to call in with a question about anything, because we've got Lou Padgett here, the author of 5 books, so call 888-874-4888 and you'll win her book. One of her books, The Great Lover's Playbook. We'll be right back. We are back. This is Dr. Diana Wiley, your host of Love, Lust, and Laughter. And my guest today is Lou Padgett. and her books are wonderful. They educate people by telling people things that they did not already know, and then they reassure by giving people permission to do the things they always wanted to do or did already but were uneasy about. We're focusing in today's show on sexual novelties because Lou does a wonderful job of research, and she has spoken to two women in the field. Didn't you tell me off the air that one of them used to work for Mattel?
Oh.
Or was that...
Okay.
That was somebody else.
Pamela McKee worked for a gentleman by the name of Tony Levine.
Tony Levine.
Tony has a company called, I'll think of it in one moment. But he created a line of Rub My Ducky.
Oh, how cute.
One of the most creative and talented designers for novelties and toys that people will not think are necessarily a vibrator or, and he creates them for women and for men. He creates, yes.
Well, wait, what's the difference? Because you've got one of those little Rub My Ducky up on your website.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, the Rub My Ducky is in essence a floatable vibrator where the beak vibrates and so does the little tail. And
oh, isn't that
they
cute?
Are so darn cute.
Yeah.
And who's going to think that your duck vibrates, right? Here's the thing. Tony's background is that he was a designer, or he came from the background of, he used to work at Mattel.
Yeah.
And so Pamela used to make her crazy because he was so exacting about how he wanted things done.
Mm-hmm.
But that was his background. His background was to be absolutely as finicky as is possible, and it shows up. I mean, the quality of his products, his company is called Big Tease with a Z, T-E-A-Z-E, Toys. And anyone who wants to...
And that's his website, too.
That's his website. It's Big Tease Toys, and his products are fabulous. The Onye, O-N-Y-E, and the Toyo, T-U-Y-O, gorgeous products. And he always comes up with something that is just... Last Christmas, I ordered a number of the mini vibrating Rub My Duckies that are sold with a little boa on them, and they're Christmas ornaments.
Oh, how cute. And then when you take down the tree...
You've got a little baby vibe.
You have a baby vibe that can go from the tree to the bathtub.
Exactly. Isn't that just darling? But he has this... You know, phenomenal background. And when Pamela answered the ad on Craigslist, she had no idea what it was for. And she was, you know, she was looking for a sales position. So that's what had her come into it. And one of the other things that we have both seen is that the big five in the manufacturing area used to have kind of a lock on what was being created and what was being distributed. And that's no longer the case.
And what there must be several factors responsible for that shift.
Oh, not even a question. And here's one of the reasons why. More people have gone in and seen how big this industry is and, you know, the size of it. The first person who I had interviewed was Jenny Say, who is at Icon Brands. Then I interviewed Pamela McKee, who is, I wanted to talk to her as someone who's doing, you know, the sales and repping out there independently.
All right.
And the third person I interviewed was Larry Garland. And Larry is the CEO and president of El Dorado Trading Company. And I had him on last week. And just a little FYI, the adult novelty business generates $1.2 billion in sales a year.
$1.2 billion with a B, sales in a year. That is impressive.
Now, here's the other thing he told me, and this number surprised me. That is excluding condoms, and condoms are $500 to $600 million. A year, and that's in the U.S.
Wow, in the U.S., and so we don't probably, it'd be very hard to get figures for
say,
Europe.
For other countries, but,
and, yeah.
I mean, that is, if you include condoms, it's $1.8 billion.
Yeah.
that's a lot of stuff taking care of our sexual pleasure and our sexual health. Because for the majority of people, what, of course, are condoms? They are their way of, you know, family planning.
Uh-huh.
But when I looked at what I wanted to know from Larry was, okay, so you have a distribution company.
Uh-huh.
And how many products do you carry? He carries 15,000 products.
Oh, my. How... My goodness.
But that's what, and I asked him, what's the most crowded category? He said, hands down, lubricants.
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 Well, let's talk about lubricants a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And you have a whole section devoted,
Well,
under your toys, lubes.
Right.
And so, lubricants. You know, I remember the day, just a little bit of history, my history, with Astroglide, when there was pretty much Astroglide, KY, you know, there weren't a whole bunch, and this is like late 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Astroglide showing up at one of our conferences in San Diego, and I just thought it was a great product, and I went on the Joan Rivers show in about 1991 or two, and I gave her a bottle of Astroglide. And the camera went right in to look at the bottle, as she was saying, because I had discussed it a little bit. She received the bottle and said, "Well, we can, you know, we can hope." And right after that show, pharmacists were calling. Now this is 1991 or two, probably 1992.
Mm-hmm.
From Canada, Lou, people were pharmacists. Where do we get this product?
Mm-hmm.
So now Astroglide is very big.
Mm-hmm.
But there are lots, and I see on your website, Lou Paget, LOUPAGET.com, that you have a product called Fire that is
Midnight
has
Fire.
Flavors.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And again, as I said, I like to go directly to the manufacturer.
Mm-hmm.
So the manufacturer of that is, you know, I go and, you know, get it directly from Mark Fishman. But what I also have, the product that I really like as a lubricant, is Very Private Intimate Moisture. And
that's what it's called?
Mm-hmm. Very Private Intimate Moisture. It is...
It says it all in the title, doesn't it?
Right.
The label.
It is as close to a woman's natural lubrication as is possible. Now, one of the things I do know is that for many people, you know, fortunately, when it comes to lubricants and novelties, fortunately isn't one size fits all. Because
mm-hmm.
what someone likes is not going to be what someone else likes,
mm-hmm.
right? Correct. Now, when I look at lubricants, here's what I make the comment to people, is if you're going to be using them externally, you know, have at it. But I do tell men, please don't buy something with color in it, because if it's going to make a mess of the sheets, chances are she won't use it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also it may be irritating to her vaginal tissue.
Absolutely. So if you're going to use it externally, fine. But if it's going to be used internally,
yeah.
This is my rule of thumb.
Yeah, what
if
is it?
If you wouldn't put it in your eye, don't put it there.
Okay, that's good. I like that, Lou.
Because if it's scented, or if it's got warming,
mm-hmm.
heating, cooling, if it's doing all of these sort of things, the sensitivity of the mucosal tissue of a woman's vulva and internally into the vagina is similar to the sensitivity of the mucosal tissue around your eye.
Yeah.
And if it's going to burn your eye, what do you think it's going to do to a woman?
Oh. Yeah. And then some women turn up with allergies.
Yeah. Or they don't know that that's, you know, that that's the thing that's causing it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know that that's, you know, the issue. So what the other thing I wanted to know from Larry Garland at El Dorado, I said, okay, what are some of the trends that you've seen?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that he said that surprised him is, okay, let me back this up. One area that I've seen that has really expanded is the area of lingerie.
Lingerie. We did talk off the air. This is really interesting to me. Please share.
Yeah, and lingerie, let me make sure I've got this right. The French word for lingerie basically means to neglect things and sort of like, you know, lie around and do nothing. But the lingerie section of manufacturers, the types, has expanded dramatically, to the point where he's carrying things now as a distributor that are really the type of clothes that are, you know, club clothes, the type of dresses that girls would wear and, you know, women wear going when they go out clubbing.
Uh-huh.
And but
so they're
what,
a little provocative and sexy.
Yeah, little, you know, sort of like little short little things. But the one area that has expanded dramatically are for big, beautiful women, is the large size women. There's a whole area, there's a line called Queen of Hearts.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when he did his research into this, when he was looking at it, 50% of the U.S. female population is size 14 or larger.
You're kidding.
I'm not. And you know, Diana, that number doesn't shock me at all, because when I was a student in New York at Fashion Institute, Fashion Institute of Technology.
Oh, no wonder you have so much style.
Thank you, darling.
You really do. You always dress so beautifully. So, all right, so you were at the Fashion Institute.
I was at Fashion Institute. And I went to do an internship, and mm-hmm. I did my internship at Albert Nippon.
Mm-hmm.
And the gentleman who was the head of marketing, he gave me an assignment to look at the area of large size women's fashion. Well, at that time, there was really only one store. I think it was called Forgotten Woman. And
you know, yes, I have a memory of that, too.
And that was the only one. And the reason that Forgotten Woman got created is there was a woman who had tremendous style and loved clothing.
Yeah.
And then she gained a tremendous amount of weight.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she was happy with how she looked. But she couldn't find anything that was fashionable, that looked good, that was of quality material. So when
And
I
Lane
did,
Bryant wasn't going to do it.
Right. No. And
or
she
Forgotten
wanted
Woman,
something
I guess.
That
mm-hmm.
was fashionable.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked at what was the average size, and honest to God, at that point, and that was 20-plus years ago, the average size was size 12 and larger.
Hmm. And now it's 14?
14 and larger. Now,
what
ended up happening is, as a result of that research,
mm-hmm.
the Nippon was the first designer name into large-size women. And initially, Pearl Nippon, bless her ego, Pearl Nippon said, I'm not designing anything for fat women, because she was a perfect size 6. Well,
yeah.
I said to the marketing manager, I said, what's the most important thing to Pearl Nippon? And he answered without hesitation, money. I said, exactly. I said,
you're so smart, because you know what motivates people.
Yeah, and I said, so why would she want to miss being the first one into the market with a designer name into this category that doesn't have anybody?
Mm-hmm.
Guess who, one season later, was the first designer name into large size women fashion? Nippon. But this
and
is...
And is the rest history? I mean, has she made money from this?
You know what? I have no idea at this point. I mean, that's a while ago since I interned there.
Yeah.
She didn't even know who I was.
Yeah.
But here's the thing that's important for women, is that this Queen of Hearts line
mm-hmm.
has lacing on the sides and on the back so that it can be the perfect fit, perfect for your body shape. So if you are very Rubenesque, it
mm-hmm.
will fit. If you might be, you know, a little apple-shaped, it will fit.
Mm-hmm.
If you are, you know, more of an hourglass or more of a, you know, a pear shape, it will fit. And it will fit perfectly for you.
So it has to do with the lacing.
Correct.
Now, we spoke off the air.
Mm-hmm.
And,
about the
lace panties.
Right. So,
that are being made for men now, too, men and women.
Right. And what Larry said is someone came in, and
mm-hmm.
any woman who has worn, you know, the boy shorts or the, you know, the sort of the more lacy, stretchy underwear,
mm-hmm.
they're just uber, uber comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so much more comfortable than the thongs were.
Mm-hmm.
And someone came in and they had a line of things, and Larry's thinking, because he carries things for both, you know, for, you know, the straight world and the gay world, and, you know, if it's being marketed to girl on girl, there is a line called, there's a new group coming in that is Wet for Her, which is a product line designed by lesbians for lesbians, which is awesome. It's out of France, actually.
Oh, hmm.
But what he said is he thought, oh, okay, here's some lace panties, and, you know, he's looking at these lace underwear, and he goes, this is obviously for the gay market. And they said, no, it's for the straight market.
Mm.
And he was like, you're kidding me. But he said, you know, it is something that, and I said, let me guess, were they all dark colors? He goes, no, they're not.
So you might have an enlightened man who knows, he might even have a history of a little bit of cross-dressing, in that lots of adolescent boys will, not lots, but some will find mom's or sister's lingerie panties and masturbate with it on because it feels good next to the skin.
Well, I mean, one of the things I will tell couples, and I'll tell women, use your, you know, get a silk scarf or a very, you know, sheer material and use that on your partner, whether it's a woman or a man, and that feel is completely different than the feel of skin.
Mm, yeah.
And you can create, I mean, if you're going to use lubricant on it, buy a cheap scarf.
Right, not your Gucci silk.
I mean, and when I asked him, I said, what's, you know, still one of the hottest toys for him as a major, major distributor is the Attachi Magic Wand.
Well, that's under the heading of a classic.
Yes.
It's been around, it's powerful, it's convenient, it's electric, right?
Mm-hmm.
And,
I mean, it's just...
And a lot of women find... I remember talking to Betty Dotson about this.
Mm-hmm.
And she talked to the Hitachi people, and they came up with a smaller, less powerful, but the same kind of broad head on it, a large-headed massager.
That she could use for, because she was using them when she was teaching her seminars. But were those also battery-operated?
No, they weren't. But powerful. Now, a lot of women find... And Betty and I talked about this, you know, to put that really powerful Hitachi wide head right on the clitoris or even around it can be too intense for some
way
women.
Way too intense.
Yeah. So then she says, well, put a washcloth there. But anyway, whatever. These are very, as you said earlier, these are individual decisions that
people can make. Well,
yeah.
If someone decides to get a large one. I mean, I did have a woman who was in her early 70s who ordered one, and this was her first vibrator.
Ah, the first. Wow.
And she said, I'm terribly sorry. It arrived. I didn't even open the box. I need to return it. This is just too intimidating. And it was. It was just, she needed to start with something smaller. And that's what most people, you know, if you go to a store now, chances are in the bricks and mortar store, you are going to find someone who has been educated and will be able to help you and is comfortable talking about the subject. Because when you go to order just online, because Amazon has become sort of like has backed in, and that's one of the things that's also changed in the world of adult novelty.
Right, right.
That Amazon has backed in and become their own store. They're not just providing the service of, you know, selling something. And as a result, the main manufacturers are selling directly to them, which impacts anyone who would have to buy from the manufacturer at this distributor, which is how Amazon is buying at the same price point. But someone who has a smaller online retail, they can't compete with Amazon because everyone knows that, in essence, Amazon is, you know, everyone who's shopping online, they tend to be price shoppers.
That's very true. But go back to what we were saying about the stores like Babeland and Lovers and all of these. They really tend to be staffed by very knowledgeable people. I had Jamie Waxman on this show, and she's written a book called Getting Off, and she worked at Babeland for a number of years, and she, I'm going to quote her, I loved, still love sharing too much. And I related to that because, and I think you could too, you know, we share, we're passionate about sexuality and education about sexuality.
Uh-huh.
And the nice thing is it can carry over into our personal lives because we have a lot of knowledge and therefore we can have sex without anxiety, don't you think?
It makes it easier.
Yes. So our goal, and even one purpose for this show, is to educate so people can have more pleasure and less anxiety.
And have their own, right, and as you and I both know, Diana, if you can validate what someone is feeling, that invariably takes away an anxiousness about something.
Very true. That's very, very, very true.
It'll have them go like this, oh, okay, I feel better about that. Now, one of the other trends that I'm seeing ongoingly is a growth in the area of the BDSM world. Bondage, dominance, sadomasochism.
Yeah, well, let's close this show off with this, because we have maybe two or three more minutes. But,
okay.
So BDSM, because more
right.
people are wanting to kind of expand their world. And
right. Here's what's also happening from a very topical standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
The book 50 Shades of Grey.
Yes.
Has caused a big furor, and Chapter 11, where they've got the hard list and the soft list of all of the things of the contract that is involved between this Mr. Gray and the woman who is the college student who is interviewing him. What it has done is expanded the area of now people actually have a format that they can look at or read. But I will tell you that there are more people who think that they're interested in the area of kink because they think they're supposed to be.
Oh,
when
yes.
someone finds this interesting and fascinating, it works for them. I will say the growing area is vanilla bondage. And if someone wants to look at a line of products called sportsheets.com.
So sport sheets?
Yes, sportsheetspearl.com.
Okay. Got it.
That has a whole line of things from restraints to little whips to little things that are ideal for people to try and beautifully packaged. Tom Stewart is the gentleman who started Sport Sheets. Great company, great quality.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so anyone wanting to, explore that. And let's be honest. What is, someone's kink is someone else's, normal behavior. If someone tells someone, keep your eyes closed, that could be construed as, a bondage dominance thing where someone is, the dom and the thing is, you must keep your eyes closed when I'm doing this.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
all a matter of perception.
Mm-hmm. I do. I'm going to go to that website, and also I've heard this book mentioned before, and I haven't read it yet. 50
well,
Shades
I'll tell
of Grey.
You, apparently it isn't very well written, but what it does do is it has caused quite a furor with people. It's one of the hottest selling e-books. It comes from a woman in the UK who were writing books in the same style. I think they called them fan somethings,
mm-hmm.
who would write in the same style of books that they really liked, and her book just took off. And
well, if people, I'm going to wind the show up now, Lou, mm-hmm. because of the time factor. If people want to read books that are very well written, they would be Lou Padgett's books. So go to her website, loupadgett.com, and you can read about her books. They're excellent and informative. And Lou, you're a wonderful guest, and of course, we'll have you back again. I'm looking at June,
mm-hmm.
And we'll continue this talk, but we'll probably go somewhere else. I mean, we always have plenty to talk about.
There's never any problem with that, my dear. And thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, you're welcome, and I look forward to being on your show tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Talk with Lou? Is that?
Sex Talk with Lou.
Sex, of course. Sex Talk with Lou. Next week, thank you again, Lou. Next week.
My pleasure, Diana.
My guest will be Dr. Hernando Chavez. And we'll be talking about this Quad S conference that we've just been to. And so tune in to Love, Lust, and Laughter. Bye, everybody.